And just a few words, really, that have crossed my mind ever since about January. And I was watching, I don't know if you watched it, some of the information regarding the Holocaust and the Jews that were murdered there, as well as being very badly treated. And it struck me at that particular time how kindness, little acts of kindness, was so important to them. I listened to several of the stories, I don't know if you did, but there's one or two chaps and some ladies as well who said that even when they were in the most horrible situation in the camps and in the beds and whatever they were in, occasionally a German, maybe somebody from other race who was forced to work for them, would come in and do them a little kindness. They'd either give them a little bit of food or give them something of importance to them, something to read even, something to write with. And it was, he said, this fellow, I think he was Polish in origin, but he said just that little tiny thing was so important to them. And so this exhortation I'm talking about is a little bit about kindness, but it isn't meant to be critical of us, really. It's an exhortation to do more of what we already do, if you see what I mean. It's not meant to say that we don't do it. It's meant to say, really, how important it is. And there were other things that happened in those camps, like, I believe, some of the musicians, and some of the Jews, of course, are extremely good musicians, and played all sorts of instruments in orchestras in Germany and Poland and so on before the war, they were allowed to continue to play their instruments. Now, that was kindness as accepted by them because they enjoyed doing it. It wasn't necessarily a kindness on the part of the person who was giving it, because the Germans felt, oh, if we have an orchestra that's working in this situation, we've done something good and everybody can enjoy it. And these people enjoy it as well. But it wasn't necessarily to be kind in the sense that I sometimes think of kindness. It's that curious difference between sort of sentimentality and kindness. I was thinking of all the many things that my wife has spoken to me in poetry over the years, and ditties and things. And one of them, because I'm not a Shakespearean scholar by any means, but the quality of mercy is twice blessed, isn't it? Once on the one who sends it, and one who receives it. And it seems to me like that's a bit like that with kindness. You know, kindness can be extremely important for the person who receives, although the person who gives it doesn't realise it. And then other times, the kindness seems to be the person's doing it, but the person who receives it doesn't quite see it in that way. And you've got to differentiate from sentimentality. And I've said these things before. These are other things that my missus have said to me over the years. I mean, I've said two little ditties. One is, I went and kissed the brown-eyed cow that gives me milk and cheese. I'm lying in my nursery now with foot and mouth disease. Now, that I think distinguishes between sentimentality and kindness. Or the other one was, my wife's spoken hundreds of these over the years, little Willie in his sashes fell into the fire and was burned to ashes. And now, even though the room gets chilly, I haven't the heart to put poor Willie. Now, it's a difference to me between that sentimentality and kindness that I'm trying to talk about. Sometimes, even just this, as I said, tiny bit of food given to them was given in a way that somebody had sneaked it in or got it to them, but the person receiving it in those circumstances found it fantastic. And I've read something very recently about other people in different parts of the world who have been in those difficult situations. And I was also thinking, and this is not what I've written here, but this is it was what we've just read, and I think was in Tony's opening prayer. You know, you think about the Muslims who are fighting in the Middle East, and you think to yourself, and the beheading of people that they've done, and you think how utterly opposite to kindness it is. You know, it's the utter other extreme, and you can't. It's just hard to imagine sometimes how that extreme can occur in the name of some form of religion. It's just so impossible for me to just think there is some sense there. I know people have got wide varieties of views and things, but it's just an extreme end of the scale. And I mean, we cannot say, of course, that kindness is necessarily an exclusive Christian trait in that sense. If you look at an objective sense, it's the fact that there are some people in the world who are very kind. They go and do things because they want to help people, and the people who receive the kindness do. But what it is to Christian, and this is the important part, is it is something that we are exhorted to have, and we're exhorted to do. I'll just read you one little passage in from Matthew 5. From the Sermon on the Mount. You were learnt that they were told eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. But I tell you this. Do not set yourself against the man who wrongs you. If some woman slaps you on the right cheek, turn and offer him the left. If a man wants to sue you for your shirt, let him have your coat as well. If a man in authority makes you go for 1 mile, go with him too. Give when you are asked to give, and do not turn your back on a man who wants to borrow. Now that's the sort of practicality of it. But I think Jesus moves it on in that, and that's what I was going to just mention shortly. Just he moves on in that to say that it's not just doing it in that practical sense, but everything should be in that sense, that we want you to do things which are helpful to one another with a willing heart. It's not something that's automatic or what's the right word, by rules and regulations, but rather that we want to do these things. And that's, I think, where I feel my exhortation today is not a critical one, because I think we all probably do that, and we all do the things that are helpful to one another, and I think we do offer people assistance where they want it, and these things are very important. But at the same time, we cannot belittle the fact, and that's the sort of going from the light-hearted end to the serious end, that you are really exhorted to do these things. And I noticed in our reading today, of course, it was about Samaritan. The Samaritan seemed to crop up quite a number of times in various aspects of scriptural stories. And of course, the famous one about the Samaritan who helped. And I was going to look at that for a minute. Out of Luke 10, find it. Where are we? 10. I'll just read this little bit. This is out of the NEB, and the lawyer wanted to vindicate himself, and Jesus said, "And who is my neighbour?" And Jesus replied, "A man was on his way from Jerusalem down to Jericho when he fell in with robbers, who stripped him and beat him and went off, leaving him half dead. It so happened that a priest was going down the same road, and when he saw him, he went past on the other side. So to a Levite came to the place, and when he saw him, went past on the other side. But a Samaritan who was making the journey came upon him, and when he saw him, was moved to pity. He went up and bandaged his wounds, bathing them with oil and wine. Then he lifted him onto his own beast, brought him to an inn, and looked after him there. Next day he produced 2 pieces of silver and gave them to the innkeeper and said, 'Look after him, and if you spend any more, I will repay you on my way back.' Which of these three do you think was neighbour to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" And he answered, "The one who showed him kindness." And Jesus said, "Go and do as he did." And, you know, when I read that story, I in some ways I can connect with it, in the sense that I hope that if I was in a situation where I'd met somebody who was in those difficult situations, and I can't think in my lifetime that I've actually met many people like that. I've occasionally come across a car accident, but when you come across a car accident, you do what you can for the minute, but then very quickly the professionals these days usually come along. I remember this once happened to us in Italy when we were travelling on a coach train, and a car passed us with a lot of young people in it, and it overturned in front of the coach. The coach driver stopped, and they were screaming and yelling, and we went to help them, but it was almost impossible to help them because they couldn't speak the language, and they didn't know what you were trying to do. And very soon a policeman arrived, and he said, "Oh, just want your name and go away," and everything went. So it's a bit difficult, and so these circumstances are not rare in this sort of respect, but they're not rare in the event of people around you that need kindness and help. And I can remember my mother often saying to me, "A bit of help is worth a lot of pity," and I felt that this is the same way these priests and this Levite. I'm sure the priest and I'm sure the Levite, when they were walking past, had some pity on the man they saw. I'm sure they saw him and thought, oh dear, poor fellow, you know, he needs some help. But then thought, oh, shall I get involved? And I think that happens to many of us in some circumstances, not all circumstances. I mean, you can help people when that situation is the case, but if it's something public, like this, where somebody is on view, sometimes I think, and I've talked to other people and found it very difficult to get themselves involved in that situation. Sometimes, I mean, well, in America, I understand some years ago, there was this argument, of course, even doctors wouldn't go and tend to a person on the ground in case something happened, and so they were sued for mismanagement or misdiagnosis or miss whatever it was, so that they were a bit wary of doing that. They'd much prefer to let the professionals come from the hospital with the ambulance and do the things and do it properly. And in this circumstance, you know, I don't know whether these people thought of that practicality. It obviously was a different situation. 2,000 years ago, the situation wasn't the same. It's completely different. But I'm trying to relate to that situation. I think to myself, if I saw that person in that situation, what would I do? And I think I would find it very hard to say I would act exactly as a Samaritan. I mean, would I go and look to see if there's a problem? Probably. Would I try to help? Possibly. I know people have done it. You read in the papers that people have seen people injured and attacked or robbed, and they've gone and helped. And I hope I would do the same and help that person. Would I then, I can't imagine quite the circumstances, but would I then actually give money to take him or her to a place where they could be looked after if they needed money? You know, I'm not trying to absolutely diagnose the problem, as it were, but I'm just trying to think of the circumstances in which I would do these things. And yet, I think at the same time, if you were thinking about Jesus himself, and he came along that circumstances, for all we know and all we believe, Jesus would put himself out to do, and I'm not talking about miracles in this particular circumstance, because there were different circumstances, but in this arrangement he would do all he could without any thought of cost to himself or without any thought of problems that might occur or anything else. I know we're in a different situation with different circumstances, but I just sometimes, when thoughts go through my mind, I think to myself, you know, why do I this? Now, it's relatively easy to do other things. Obviously, we've got neighbours who can help. We've got perhaps elderly people, even elderly than ourselves now, who we need to help. Often a bit of help is worth a lot of pity, as my mother used to say, doing a bit of shopping or doing something like that, and you can do it easily. This was a different circumstance. And this Samaritan does all these things, and it seems to me to put me, it might put you, I don't know whether you feel the same, put you on the spot. And we know that acts of kindness were always important. I know Paul in his journeys always was very pleased with acts of kindness that occurred to him, although at the same time he didn't, as he said on many occasions, labourer is worthy of his hire. He didn't think that things should be showered upon him for free gratis and for nothing, but rather that, you know, he would accept accommodation, I'm sure, and he would accept food, but at the same time, where he could pay his own way, he would do it, which is slightly different. I was going to read Luke 11. Oh, yes, he says, suppose one of you has a friend who comes to me in the middle of the night and says, my friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine on a journey has turned up at my house and I have nothing to offer him. And he replies from inside, do not bother me. The door is shut for the night. My children and I have gone to bed and I cannot get up and give you what you want. I tell you that even if he will not provide for him out of friendship, the very shamelessness of this crest will make him get up and give him all he needs. And so I say to you, ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. It's that reciprocal arrangement where one hopes that when you're in these sort of circumstances, you respond in the right way. And as I say, I'm not saying that the fact is that kindness isn't done and kindness isn't received. And as I said, my psychological thoughts about how kindness is received and how kindness is given are two slightly different things, because sometimes I've known you do something and you've never thought anything about it, and yet sometime later said, oh, I did appreciate the fact that you did whatever it was, and you think, oh, what did I do? And then other occasions you do something to somebody, or you think, oh, I've done that, and they seem to not appreciate it in the slightest way. It's that sort of psychological balance. Going back to my prisoner of war thing, I was because I'd been involved with Singapore, obviously I'd read a few books about that area, and I came across a story, and this is where I think a separate sort of almost duty, sentimentality and kindness. But there was a man who worked as a manager of one of the big department stores in Singapore, who was British, and he was and he had a Chinese servant, but he was he wasn't one of the immediate Chinese. You know, the Japanese, you know, were very cruel to the Chinese who were in Singapore, you know, but the ones who had been there a long time with families, they were less. This man was, his servant was lesser down the scale, so he went to live in his own house and worked during the war, what he worked at. But he'd been this man's servant, effectively, and he used to bring him his clothes and everything else and clean him and make his bath and clean his house and all that. And the moment the surrender occurred, this man, servant, turned up at the jail, Changi jail, with a full clean set of clothes, shirt, tie, suit, socks, shoes, so they could give them to his former master, who was coming out of jail that day in a completely emaciated form. Now, I ask myself sometimes, is that kindness or is it duty? You know, it's a very kind thing to do, but it's a sort of a dutiful thing that he would do. And so that's the sort of mix that I sometimes bring in my mind about things that are either sentimental or kind or dutiful. And I think Jesus wants us to go above all that, in the sense that if we do those things and if we want to do those things, we should do them in a way that is free, free-giving, sort of not for any reward you come in to get back to you, but purely to give it. And I think, on the whole, not all the time, but occasionally, that can be very hard indeed. And of course, we know Jesus gave himself. I mean, I don't know whether you call it an act of kindness or not, but I mean, Jesus knew that he was going to be killed. He knew the awful way that it was going to happen, and he prayed about it, but it was going to happen. But he knew it, and he did it for, he said, God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And he gave him in such a way that it would be for all the people who believed in him. And some, of course, he didn't know at that time. There were people he wouldn't know at the time, and later he wouldn't know at all, in the sense of a human sense of this, that circumstances. And I think our kindness is a reflection of this attitude. Jesus has given his all for us, so shouldn't we at least try to do those things in that same reflective manner? And sometimes, as I say, it isn't black and white. It isn't black and white. Sometimes occasions need different circumstances. Sometimes they need to be thought out. And we remember in many of the epistles, we talked about the fact that everything was done with loving kindness, patience, tolerance. These were all attributes that we should do in that respect. And so I think of it in a way, just going back to the phrase in the Lord's Prayer, forgive our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us, or do unto others as you would have them do unto you. I think as I approach the breaking of bread today, and that's what I've tried to get over, I think of it in a light-hearted and a serious sense. The light-hearted sense is I think we do some, a lot of these things, and I think we are kind, I think we do help one another. But at the same time, Jesus gives us that ultimate aim of doing even more. And as we come to take the bread and wine, we think that he gave everything for us.